Hi, I'm Anthony, one of your hosts.
Hey, I'm Ella, and I'm also one of your hosts.
Hi, I'm Laura Vellacott.
Hi, I'm Joseph.
Hi, I'm Kate, the final host for today. And today we're going to be talking about all things Christmas. Hello, and welcome to the Holland Road Encounter podcast. I'm a huge Christmas fan, and so I'm really excited for this week's Christmas special episode. At Holland Road, our Advent theme is sharing the light, and as a church family, we are exploring how we can share the light of Jesus this Christmas and shine the light into darkness.
Today, we are going to discuss all the things festive as part of this Christmas episode. Our guests are also very special, as we have a mother and son duo joining us today. I have invited my friend Joe and his mum, Laura. So, would you guys like to introduce yourselves to our listeners?
Would be a pleasure. My name's Joe. I'm a friend of Anthony's, and I go to Baswick, and I've been going to Holland Road all my life, pretty much.
And I'm Laura, and I am mum to Joe, even though I call him Joseph, but I think I'm probably the only person that does, apart from his dad. And I've been coming to Holland Road for over 20 years. I first came to Brighton and Hove as a student at Sussex University, and I never left. And I now live in Hove with Tim, who many of you know, because he's the Associate Minister at Holland Road, and Joseph and his sister Thea, and we live in Hove. And I also love all things Christmassy.
Amazing. Thanks, guys. I'm glad we're in a Christmas safety bubble here of joy and festivities. For our quick fire questions round, we are letting loose and going a bit wild. So actually, we are letting all of you guys quiz each other as long as it is Christmas themed.
So our first and arguably the most important Christmas quickfire round, the theme is food. And so, Jay, you're going to kick us off first.
Cool. So this is quite a tough question. I'm not sure how I feel about this, but Mum, Laura, should Brussels sprouts be compulsory on Christmas?
Obviously, yes. And I would say they're particularly mandatory for the under 18s. They should have double the ratio to any adult. I really like Brussels sprouts now, but I didn't for a long time. So yeah, they should be compulsory for Christmas dinner. I think it might be a legal requirement. I think.
Wow, love that strong opinion.
Well, I'm not sure I would agree with that, but oh well. Next question: what is the best part of a Christmas roast?
Probably not the Brussels sprouts. I'm going to say they're an essential part, but probably not the best part. It's a close tie, I would say, between the pigs in blankets, which are really exciting, because when do you ever have a pig in blanket other than on Christmas Day? But also the roast potatoes, very important, but they have to be done well. They have to be nice and crispy on the outside and fluffy on the inside, because yeah, a bad roast potato on Christmas Day is really disappointing.
So agree,
I'm going to say, I think I'm going to go for the roast potato.
Nice.
That's my final answer.
Final answer. Yeah. To lock it in.
Okay, my turn. I'm going to ask Ella and Kate this question, actually. What is the best dessert for Christmas Day?
Oh, okay. I think for Christmas Day, the best dessert is multiple desserts in the same bowl. And so I like to have a mince pie, Christmas pudding, and then maybe something like a bit chocolatey as well, and then have like some ice cream with it.
Ooh,
so a bit of everything.
Yeah, I'm so down for the like full-on buffet style Christmas pudding extravaganza. I think I'd definitely have to add in there ice cream. Just, you know, I'm basic with ice cream, probably just vanilla, but you know, the snazzy type with those like black dots in it. That's pretty good. And also, I'm a massive fan of marzipan, and I feel like it is really Christmassy.
Ooh, yeah.
So yeah, chuck a whole blob of that in.
Oh,
it's very sweet.
Yeah, I'd have it with anything, really. Yeah, breakfast, lunch, dinner, chucking a bit of marzipan.
You can never go wrong with marzipan.
No, so true.
Fair, you just outdone me there with my pudding. All right, Anthony, I'm going to ask you two questions now. First one is, what is your favourite Christmas carol?
Oh, There is a lot of Christmas carols, but you know, the first thing that comes to my mind when someone says Christmas carol is the Once in Royal David City. I like that one. It's a nice song to sing. I just, it's great. I love that one. Yeah. So it's
probably. Do you want to give us a little taster, or is that?
I don't want to, you know, shine too bright here, guys. You know.
Have you ever done the sort of first verse solo? You know, like you.
I actually did that twice. Actually, once at church, but there were other occasions where I missed it because I was late and forgot.
That's bad.
Yeah, so I had to take my place, but it was nice when I did it. Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. That's your favorite carol. If you've also, you know, been a star in that part as well. All right, and then the second question is, would you rather no presents or no food on Christmas Day?
You see, this is a tricky one because, you know, my parents might listen to this and hear, So, don't get me wrong, presents are amazing. You know, you've got to love unwrapping the presents, you know, that it's just so exciting. But I think, you know, I'll have to go for no presents because I can't not have food on Christmas Day. That is the main part, really, for me that I get excited about. You know, just seeing everything come together and just eating it. Oh.
It is risky to say no presents on a podcast because, you know, a parent might hear that and be like, wow, I'll take that literally. I'll give them food.
Yeah, Mum, I don't agree with him on this. I mean, I wouldn't be able to decide. So don't listen. Don't take his opinion. Seriously.
Just a bag full of sprouts for Anthony, I reckon, Christmas Day. Okay, so I'm going to ask Joseph two questions. The first one is really very important, and it's, have you bought me a Christmas present yet, Joseph?
So I'm going to have to articulate this answer very carefully. Let's just say, I mean, I'm not allowed to say, am I? Because it's Christmas, it's secrety kind of stuff.
Oh, nice. That's a good diplomatic answer.
There we go. See? But you will be impressed, I hope.
Okay. That is very vague and diplomatic.
That's a very diplomatic answer. My second question, Joseph, is, would you rather have your Christmas dinner cooked by a professional chef but eat it all on your own, or have beans on toast for your Christmas dinner with your family?
You know, this is tough. I mean,
it's tough.
Yeah, but like, cooked by a professional chef, that's like a once in a lifetime opportunity. But then you only get to have food with your, it's not really Christmas without your family. So I think I'll have to go beans on toast.
Oh,
a bit lame, but you got to be with your family on Christmas.
That's heartwarming, Jay. I think your questions were the most brutal questions there. So well done.
I bet the listeners are going to have tears in their eyes.
Yeah, all tear rolling.
Wipe them away.
Now we have our regular question, which we ask to all our guests. If you were a car, what car would we be? And because this is a Christmas special, how would you be decorated?
I'm really bad. I don't know makes of car. I'm sorry. I'd be one with a lot of dents and bumps in it because I have terrible spatial awareness, as most of my family will attest. And I have actually scraped our own car a few times. So I wouldn't be a sleek kind of sports car or anything. How would I be?
A well-loved car.
Oh, yeah, I'd be well-loved. You know, a bit bumped in places, a bit scratched.
What kind is the car?
Oh, it would be, well, my favourite colour is green, so I'm going to say green. We don't really see green cars, do you, very much? So
yours maybe is a special car, though, Laura.
Yeah.
Christmassy as well.
Yes. And then I would decorate it clearly with some antlers somewhere.
Oh, I like that. That's not good for someone with bad spatial awareness, though.
No, it would be terrible going someone under the parking, you know, barriers, but yeah. Yes, I'm going to, yeah, that's what I would do.
Okay, for me, I'd probably think of like a family kind of car, because, you know, Christmas, as I was saying, quite a family kind of thing. So a big car with lots of space. Colour-wise...
No, don't ask me to park it.
Colour-wise, I'd probably go for maybe, like, white with, I don't know, maybe a, like, snowflake in black design across it and stuff.
Ooh. White. Yeah, I like that. Pretty classy.
Yeah, and then, like, probably, yeah, quite cozy inside, big chunky chairs with...
Maybe some, like, you know, hot chocolate on tap.
Hot chocolate, yeah, hot chocolate. We could have a chocolate fountain in the middle or something.
What a dream car.
Yeah.
Joe,
I've now got a question for you, as you are, you know, young and youthful. Like, and always in, when I think about the story of Jesus' birth and how actually everyone in that story, like Mary and Joseph, I think, oh, they were so young. So for you, what is your favourite or most shocking and encouraging part of the story of Jesus being born?
Well, for me, probably the most encouraging part would be when God sends the angels to visit the shepherds. It's a really, really fun way of showing that God can use anyone. And that you don't—he doesn't just rely on where you come from or how good you are at something. That he uses everyone.
Came straight to them where they were at on the hill. They weren't sort of looking for Jesus and God, but those angels came.
Yeah, it's a really, really great part.
And now I'm going to ask Laura a question. Laura, what are you doing this Christmas, especially in the community?
So this Christmas, obviously, it does look a bit different this year with the pandemic. I have some time off work, so I'm really looking forward to having a bit of time to rest, because it's been a really busy term. I work at the university and it's been really, really busy. So I'm looking forward to having some time with the family. In terms of what we're doing in the community, I've really enjoyed being involved in the Windows of Light that we've been doing as a church. And I was looking the other day at how many people had signed up and done one, and it was 24, which we didn't plan for, but I thought, oh, that's the same number of days of Advent.
Yeah, look at that.
So there we are. So that's been really nice. We did our own window a few weeks ago, and we have it kind of lit up throughout the evening. And even in the day, you can see it quite visibly. And actually, we've had a lot of people walk past. I see them stop and look. And we even heard someone the other day say, Jesus, light the world. What does that mean? So it's been quite a talking point. And that's been nice to do that, because it's not something we've done before. And yeah, it's just nice to try creative ways of sharing the message of Christmas and light of Jesus being the light of the world.
That sounds lovely. I think it's so important to still figure out how we can be seeing people and like playing with people and still like celebrating Christmas. And yeah, just being a bit more creative with how we do that. I think lots of us are doing outdoor festive things, and yeah, it's nice to hear what you've been up to.
That sounds really nice, Laura. How would you suggest our listeners could talk about Christmas and live in a way that shares the good news of Jesus?
I mean, your question about Sprouts was easier, let's be honest. I think if I could offer three words in response to that: heart, hands and mouth. So heart, what I mean by that is having the love of God in your heart is so important to be able to share the good news of Christmas. Because if you're not sort of feeling the love towards people and wanting them to know the good news, then it's quite hard to have the motivation to want to share it. So ask God to fill you with his spirit and to give you love and compassion and care for those around you, maybe specific people that he brings into your life, friends, or if you're at college, people at college or workmates. Ask God to fill your heart with love and to be open to share the good news. And then hands, because actually sharing the good news of Jesus, we often, when we hear that, we think, oh, it must mean verbally and in conversation, and that's really important. But actually, if you serve others and love others practically, that's really powerful, and that's a way of sharing the good news of Jesus's love. So helping a neighbour or a friend in a practical way, doing some shopping for them, walking their dog, going alongside them if you see that someone's struggling, being there to listen to them, to take the time to kind of find out how they're doing, to say, should we go for a walk? You know, that kind of thing. I think that's really powerful. And then finally, mouth. So yeah, do be prepared, as it says in the Bible, be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope you have, it says in 1 Peter 3:15. And I think this at Christmas, sometimes the opportunities to talk about Jesus can come up more naturally. And one great way is to invite people to the services that we're running. And it's even easier in a way this year because they're online and everyone loves carols. And it's quite easy to say, you know, I'm part of a church and we do this carol service. And, you know, would you like to join in? Mm. And you can know that they will hear the gospel there. I'm quite confident of that because Tim's speaking and he usually manages to get the gospel in somewhere. Or being prepared even and being open to sharing the message of Christmas through conversation and asking God for opportunities to do that. So heart, hands and mouth. That's my three little ways of thinking about that. That's the answer to that question.
Amazing. It's so encouraging when it's just real practical things that we all have, you know, heart, hands and a mouth.
Thanks, Laura. Okay, Jo, what's your favourite Bible verse to reflect on at Christmas time?
For me, I'd say John 1:5. It says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." I think that's it's a really applicable verse, isn't it, in this time? I mean, there's so much to be down about. I mean, Christmas is going to be limited, and we've been in lockdown for a while, and yeah, it's just times are hard at the moment. But yeah, it's really highlighting how Jesus has overcome it all, and that we can rely on him. I think it's also it's really also applicable for the windows of light thing, as Laura was talking about, because you know, windows of light and the light overcoming, it's a really, really good way to to show how spreading God's love through this way can really help people in these dark times. Yeah,
definitely. I really like that verse. We wanted to put that on our window of light, but we just didn't have space.
Yeah, it's really hard to fit in the verse.
Yeah, it's a short, punchy verse, but when you're trying to put it across a whole window,
yeah, lots of cutting.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. So for our final question in this section, I'm actually going to ask it to both Jo and Laura. You can tell us a bit about how in your family do you stay Jesus focused? How do you take all the joy of Jesus' birth and coming to earth without getting sort of too sucked into consumerism and sort of, celebration which isn't focused on Jesus? How do you balance that?
It is tricky. It's a challenge because we live in a very, very materialistic society, and there is a pressure to kind of buy stuff and for that to become the focus. Actually, one thing that my cousin's doing, and she's not a Christian, but she's not buying presents this year. She's actually donating money to charities instead, which I thought was a really interesting approach, actually, and something to think about. So we have an Advent candle on our dining room table that actually we got from the box of that Amanda Roberts sent out. The hub box had an Advent candle in, and you can kind of draw on the days of Advent and then light it, and it just burns down for that one day. And when we do that, when we light the candle for our mealtime, we also read out the verse that Thea has in her Advent calendar, which kind of takes you through the Christmas story. And that's quite a nice way of kind of coming back to what it's all about. Often the day is busy, there's lots gone on, and we've all been a bit distracted, but that's a nice way of sort of recentering on what really matters. And something that I saw on Facebook the other day was a picture of the Nativity, and it said, "The first Christmas was pretty simple, so it's okay if yours is too." And I thought that's very wise, that actually we make Christmas quite complicated sometimes with presents and food and relationships and et cetera, et cetera. But actually it can be simple. It can be just a simple meal and sharing some simple gifts and just spending time together.
Oh. I like that. Just taking the time to center with your family and just have that moment to focus on Jesus and the whole, what it's all about.
Yeah, for me, it would probably be, going to the church services and the carol concerts, because it's a really good way and a fun way of remembering the true meaning of Christmas, where we go through, all the story, and then we have all the carols and a band, and it's a really, really fun way of getting together with people. And as Laura was saying about inviting people, it's a really good way to invite people and tell them about the true meaning of Christmas.
Definitely. Thank you, Joe. That's great. Yeah, it's just so, I guess exciting to be reminded of just those truths of how exciting Christmas is as it was all those years ago, when actually it's all about God coming down to earth to be with all of us. And what a great gift he is.
I've actually discovered a really good gift company as well, talking about consumerism. Ooh. And materialism. It's called Cheerfully Given. I'm not on commission with them or anything, but they're a Christian, they're a Christian based they kind of sell Christian craftspeople sell things through there, and they have a website, and they do some lovely Christian-based gifts, so beautiful Christmas ornaments with Bible verses on and things to encourage you in your faith. So I've bought a few things from there, and it feels nicer than going on Amazon and with however many other millions of people. I do go on Amazon sometimes, have to confess, but I've been trying to look on the Cheerfully Given website for some nice gifts for people this year.
Really thoughtful.
Yeah, I think I've been on there before, and they're really beautiful. What's on there? It's really nice to see, and support just like local businesses as well. It's great.
Anthony, would you be happy to pray for us and all our listeners as we come into this exciting Christmas season?
Yes, I would love to do that. Okay, let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity for us to all come together and talk about the meaning of Christmas. I pray that in these interesting times that we can all be light for those who feel trapped in the dark. I pray that we are able to find a way to spread the word about you, about the story of Jesus being born and what that means to us and what that means for other people. And I pray that we really take to heart about the true meaning of Christmas, what you want us to think about in Christmas, and not forget that, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Right, this has been the Encounter Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us, and a big thank you to Laura and Joe for joining us today. It's been lovely to hear from you both. And just kind of getting that Christmas spirit and kind of refocus Christmas back onto Jesus being the light in the darkness.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
You can follow us on Instagram at encounter_HR and subscribe to our podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. This is our last episode for this season, but feel free to give the previous episodes a listen too.
Yeah, we'd love to invite you to join us on any or all of our Christmas events this year. We'll pop the links in the description. We've got some all-age services such as Follow the Star. We've got carols by candlelight, and also those windows of light that we talked about. So if you're anywhere in the Brighton area, just pop on the link and you'll be able to see the locations.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.